how or whether you have a food that should have some fancy bracha or another, and then the food is tiny, so then whether it retains the original bracha or not depends on whether the shinui is tiny the mayutra or is tiny the yurutra. If it's Rishtani the Mayutra, then you certainly maintain the same bracha. If it's Rishtani the Yuyutra, then it's considered a different object with a different identity, some Chadash and Dolakan, and it's considered like a synthetic food, and all synthetic food is Seisha Hapalam. It's no longer Haroshi, it's no longer Ha'adamah, it's no longer Ha'amoyti, it's no longer Baradim Zainus, whatever. So that's the Machlokes, that's how the Mishnah Berurah presents. That's Machlokes, Rashi in places regarding Yain or Rishal. And Rashi's opinion is that cooking wine is standing with Yuruka, so therefore it loses the status of wine and it's considered like some synthetic food and it's a kashan. And we don't talk like that, we assume that it's standing with Yuruka. I think it's a frank point that in the Shuva is that there is a Machlokes of Rishon that we discussed on several occasions regarding Machlokes of Tzurish and Rishtanus. If you have trays of food and it's in Shtana, but you say, because Gemara hasn't bought a common in Yehuda, and it still gives Shina Kaina by Agana, that Shina Kaina is not only a din by Gnei, it's a din in Kol HaTor Kula, that it's a different chetz, it's considered a different entity. That's why the Rabbeinu Yehuda is of the opinion that any Yisrush, even in Yisrush, right, the Shina Shtana becomes Wuta. So let's say if you have trays of wine, all the wine, and you cook it, according to Rashi, it's Bechas HaShahakol. Because it's the Shtani Ligiyusa. The Shtani Ligiyusa is considered Baram Chabash as well as Khan. It lost its original identity. It's considered like a synthetic food. So you say, if you have Yain, Shel, Orlo, it'll be Mut if you cook it. Unless you can take an Isa de Rabbana, not an Isa de Raisa, Yain, Shel, Orlo, Yain, Shel, Orlo. And take some Yain and de Rabbana. So you take all Yain, Musha was Mutta. You say, Yain, Musha was Mutta, he's a different thing. If a Jew made wine, and he cooks the wine before the Machri handles it, the Maga HaMachri does not to declare. The only reason why Maga HaMachri has to be any Israel is because we have to be Choshish Mishum Nisuch. Maybe the Machri was Menasuch when he stuck his fingers in. And Yain Mavushal, since we don't bring it on the Mizbeach for Nisuchim, and the Goyim don't bring it Lavei Dezorah, because they don't bring whatever we don't bring, and then if you can honestly be afraid that maybe the Machri is stuck in his hand, had intentions with Shem Yisrael. Unless he said the same issues, Menasuch is the Shem of the Dezorah. Then it becomes awesome. Now, what is it? The Yain the Rushal can't become Muslim, become Nesach. It means we assume that it most probably wasn't Menasuch, because their practice is that they don't use it in their ritual, because we don't use it in the Beis HaMikdash, Yain Rushal itself. So, that dinam Yain Rushal means that if the Nachri does the Naga after it, he starts with the Yad Yitzur, it does not. Why? Why do you say like that? Why don't you just take Goyisha wine, trade with the Rabbana, let's say, Stami Enema, cook it, and say, come to Rashi. Zantarashi is Merushal. Yad Merushal is Rishtani with Merushal. This is obviously, it's a double burrow like that, that the Shia or Shinui is different. In order to declare that an Isish and Rishtani according to Rabbeinu Yehuda is Mutter, you have to have a Shini Gomi, you have to have a major change. In order to declare that it's Tirchot or Shahakol, that it loses its original identity and it's a Panam Chadashis Dolar Khan and therefore it's a synthetic food, you don't need that same level of Shinui that you would need for and I'll call the first thing to become with it. That's a very partial idea.
If you're going to Rashi, you should, in the Sakokis actually, when you say that it's Nishtane, so why is it, a Nishtane in a halakhic sense, and a Nishtane in the Indian sense?
In the Dhamma terms. Nishtane in the Dhamma terms.
But the Rabbi asked the wine times, is maybe you say that uncooked wine is better than cooked wine, which I think they
Yeah,
right. So
what for Rashi the Horoshi is correct? Yeah, it depends. Is it just a major change that is to such a great extent that it's a slight
Shinui? Well, it's
no, it doesn't have to be the same level Shinui as Shinui to be coined by Ganef or Shinui to make Macholos Asuras into Heter. But it still has to be a certain level of Shinui. Sama, Shinui Kogaru doesn't count. The Rashi claims that the cooking is a major change, legally useful. And the other thing, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rush, keeps on quoting the Rush a few times. The Rush says, no, it's Ishtani Lubai Yusa. I was trying to say, no, it's Ishtani Lubai Yusa a little bit, legally useful, but it's not sufficiently Ishtani Lubai Yusa, that it should be Mishnah Lubai either. To be Makam of all the Kostiris, the Koran Tabinian has had a major Shina. And to lose the flock of the Bracha that it had originally, you have to have such a minor Shina. And this is less than a minor Shina.
So it would be a special Kina and have a non-Yan Kusha. No
Shuna is a kin, according to Rashi.
That's no, not according to Rashi, but even according to those who say that
No.
want.
Of course, you can't stand at all. We still fight you.
Well, but the Tosfos holds that she may be relevant. The Rambam holds that the Rambam and the Gemara hold that Yain Mishul is no good because it's Tosfos and Nisach HaRabi Yam is there. But once you don't accept that, once the Mechala Pasuk is against the Sulachat, you should be conscious for that. But once the Mechala Pasuk is against that, against that Rambam and the Gemara, but then why should there even be Midas Pasidus not to use Yain Mishul? Unless you're conscious for Rashi. Rashi holds that Yain Mishul is because of Shachar. So you don't hold like Rashi, you don't hold like the Rambam. Within place of Shita. So there isn't even a heater to use Dachke Yang Jain.
What would be the
debate on Mechal
Shabbos at this point?
Mechal Shabbos is because he did it to Nachri and Maga Nachri asked his wine. Even though the reason why Maga Nachri asked his wine is because we have to be afraid maybe he was an ass who never deserved. And this fellow was Mechal Shabbos because he never worshipped Abu Zar in his life. He never saw the inside of the shul, let alone the inside of the church. Well, he doesn't know about any religion, doesn't he? But nevertheless, that's how most of the Poskim assume. That's how it says in Shulchan. That since the Mechal Shabbos is Dina Ka'akum, so Magan Achayat, even though the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply. Some of the Gdolim in the last, before the war, there were a few Gdolim in Europe who held against the Shulchan. Very sure, held against the Shulchan. That since the reason for the Maga Nachri, Asring Rai, doesn't apply to Mechal Shabbos, because he's not going to be Menasachim, so therefore the wine should be moved. And we don't really follow them.
Therefore, why should I want to make any more of
a
Mechal
Shabbos? So therefore, the Chachamim never goes on Yain Merushal. They never ask it, Maga Nachi be Yain Merushal. But Maga Nachi on Yain Shein Merushal, they did ask it. But this fellow is called a Nachi. To go distinguishing one not with another, so the Shulchan Aruch says we don't distinguish. And a group of Goyim from Europe before the Second World War thought that you should distinguish. So the Mechal Shabbos Beferes is Dina Kenochi, but he still was not involved in our Avodah Zarah Mamash. So why should you be cautious?
I mean, the whole thing is based on
yeah, but you see that the issue applies even when the reason doesn't apply. Let's say a Nachri who doesn't worship any religion at all. If he touches, if he handles wine, so he does answer it. He's not Baki Denisa. He still answers the wine. But this Mechal Shabbos professed, he's doing it to Nachri. He's the same as a Nachri. He's not Baki Denisa. He still answers at least the Shtir. Even though he doesn't ask the Bama, he still answers the Shtir. But three tastes of Frank has in his tshuva a discussion regarding the bracha to be recited over brandy or cognac, which originally starts off as wine, and then it's ishtani. Should you consider that shahakal or should it be barbara govind? Do you think that it's ishtani than al yusuf? Bahariya, that the people enjoy the cognac and brandy better than the wine. Bahariya, that they converse. I can say that it's ishtani than yusuf and charge more money. The people go out of the way to make cognac out of the wine. And others hold no, that you say shahakal on that. I think the minigod is to say shahakal because the people don't realize that it comes from wine. People don't realize what it is. But if they would realize, I think they would follow us to be based on that. People don't realize that the ending cognac comes from wine, so they take tray for brandy. It's mamish stam yenam. So with respect to the stam yenam, we certainly would not say that it's a shtani legally used for. Even those who hold that the part of shahakal, that's only a shinui with respect to brachas, but that doesn't constitute a shinui with respect to hetem, macholos, or tzur. Everybody would agree that it's not. What's the problem with whiskey?
I mean, it changes from grains to the ashtakol.
What can be created about the grain fadash?
Right, I'm saying each beer requires a better ashtray.
Okay. Everybody buys whiskey with that.
I don't know.
Because if they mix in wine. Some are blended whiskeys. Some blended whiskeys are blending different whiskeys together. And some are blended wines into the whiskey. That's Rav Moshe Shailer. Moshe has a few children about that mistake. If they blend in wines into the whiskey, so then they blend in treifa wines. That should be awesome. So Moshe quote that it says in Yeriday, it's a tshuva. It says in Yeriday that it's mutter. It says in Yeriday that although normally whenever treifa is sold into a hefty, you have to have shishin and a kosher food against the treifa food. But in Ratlid, when it comes to Stanyanim that gets mixed into a beverage, if you have six parts of the beverage against the one part of the wine, so then it's bottled with shisha. You don't have to have shisha, it's bottled with shisha. If some yenim gets mixed into a maichol, then you have to have shishim. That's what the Shach says in the name of the Yisrael. But if Stam Yenam falls into a beverage, you have to determine what is the beverage. Is the beverage yain? Is the beverage something other than yain? So that depends whether you have shisho. If you have 6 units of beverage against the 1 unit of the wine, so be clear that this is not wine. If it's not wine, then you don't have to be mivatlus. They say the wine doesn't exist. The only question is, the Ramesh in his truth is assuming that the liquor, that the schnapps is a beverage. And that's the question that we raise, that Rav Chaim Volozhin is quoted as saying that schnapps is not a beverage. Schnapps is a liquid machel, but it's not a beverage. And that's what the Kajot loves about in his truth also, that the Shia for Brach HaFrein is Kazayin, not Kazayin. It's a machel, it's not a beverage. Okay, that's what we spoke about. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that on Shabbos morning there's a machlokes where you can say Kiddush on Chama Medina if you don't have yain. If yain is mostly beer, so you shouldn't use Chama Medina. But if yain is not mostly beer, you just can't afford it, so then you can recite Kiddush on Chama Medina. So some had the practice of reciting Kiddush over schnapps. So Chaim Volozhin is quoted as saying that he doesn't understand how can you say Kiddush over schnapps. That's like saying Kiddush over a bowl of soup. Schnapps is not a beverage, schnapps is a liquid soup. People don't drink schnapps when they're thirsty. Even in Russia, they drink a lot of schnapps. They drink it when they want to be happy, but they don't drink it when they're thirsty. So that's not a beverage. So how can it be called a bracha la kos?
What about wine?
Beer.
Why not the
soda? Well, in some countries, it depends which country. We don't, because we have pure water. But in France and other countries, they drink wine when they're thirsty. They quench their thirst. Traditionally, throughout all the generations, wine used to be taken as a beverage. Now we don't, especially by Jews. Jews don't drink wine, just the Kiddush and Havdalah. So now it's a religious thing, sacramental wine. But traditionally, wine was always a beverage that people drank when they were thirsty. But schnapps, lechora, was never a beverage. Schnapps was never intended to be a beverage. So that's why we raise the problem that Taisa says in Brachos that the bracha on beer is not very meaning the greatness, but rather sha'akol, because beer is a beverage and places has a cloud based on the gemara, but all beverages are brachot and sha'ak. So that's the question. That shouldn't really apply to schnapps. The schnapps should really be very meaning the greatness. It should be like soup that has grain in it that makes it thick. So even if it's less than 50% of the contents of the soup is chameshes minei dogan, the gemara still says that it should be by meaning of that.
Do you understand the one thing like the end or something, and it's liquor, that it's whiskey?
Not really. Let's say you made the vegetable soup and you filtered out all the vegetables. You strained out all the vegetables and the vegetable soup is pure. It's still say better to your mom, even though you don't have any problems with it.
How do we submit all the beverage?
That's a big talent. That's what Chaim Balozhin is quoted as saying in Shari Rachman. Has the Hanhavas or Chaim Balozhin quoted as saying that he doesn't understand how people say Kiddush on Shabbos morning. On Schnapps, he says that it's Mamez Jamaichel. It's like soup. And the Kajab Lava has a tshuva. He talks about Kiddush on Shabbos morning, but he says, why are people Meikel and they don't use a cup that has the Leviyas? They use a tiny cup. So he says, the answer is because Schnapps is a Meikel. And the Michael the Shir is Kazayas, and the Magen Avraham has the Machlokes. Magen Avraham quotes Machlokes how big the Shir Kazayas is, whether it's a half of a beitza or a shlish beitza. And the Magen Avraham has a beitza, and the Magen Avraham gives the Hachor. He says, with respect to Dinim Derais, it should be Machmir, that a Kazayas is a Chatzi beitza. With respect to Dinim Rabban, it's a Mekel, that a Kazayas is a shlish beitza. There's a Kiddush of Shabbos morning, it's only the Rabbanon. So you can be Mekel that it's a shlish beitza. And the Schnapps classes have a shlish beitza of Schnapps in them, so therefore it's good. But Hatella, so after he proves the whole thing, after he gives you the whole proof, he just explained why he can't use schnapps at all. If you're going to say that it's a Michael, then Chaim Volozhin should be right, that you can't use it for Kiddush at all. You can't make Kiddush over soup. That's not Chama Amadina. And Lomtabi Chama Amadina has to be first qualified as a beverage, Lachora, and then has to qualify as a beverage that you mechabit somebody with. If it's water, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that that's not called Chama Amadina, even if they have no mashkin in the Medina that they mechabit anybody with. Water doesn't count. Moshe Pasha writes his definition, what's called water. So he says, if it's a mashke that the people only drink when they're thirsty. They only drink when they're thirsty. Whenever they're not thirsty, they never drink that. Then that can never qualify as Chama Medina. But if you have beer that people drink when they're thirsty, and sometimes people drink it even when they're not thirsty. They like the flavor of beer. But that, if it's a Chama Medina, if in that Medina they serve beer, then the Mechabit gets with, then it will qualify as a Chama Medina. the tradition that they say over the name Rav Chaim Volozhin, I don't know if it's printed anywhere, they say Rav Chaim Volozhin, it was up somewhere that in order to qualify as Chamai Medina, it has to be a meeting in the Shaker. It has to be an intoxicating beverage. If it's just a cup of tea, even though in many places in Europe, the Mechabit guests with a cup of hot tea. And that's why in many places they would say Habdol over Rav Chaim Volozhin. In Zulma would say Habdol over a hot cup of tea. That's what in the biography of Rav Chaim Volozhin, they quote that he once visited Rav Chaim Volozhin on Shabbos, and on the Sunday Shabbos, he recited Habdolah decree while it was burning hot. He insisted on making Habdolah while it was burning hot. And it took him a long time to drink it, so he asked, why didn't he wait till it cooled down a little bit to be able to drink it fast, to have to drink the reviews, to have the best reviews? The Rav Chaim Volozhin said, no, there has to be Hamam and Dina. You only mechabe the guest when it's burning hot. You don't give the guest a cup of tea when it's past cooled down already. We give the food on the burning house. That's why it's only Chamar Medina in the burning house state. So Chaim Volozhin, obviously, and many other people were not able to recite Habdolah over tea. Apparently they couldn't afford wine, or the wine wasn't available, or whatever. In America, what Moshe Feinstein writes, he doesn't see how you can be make of the fault to recite Kiddush on Shabbos morning, or Habdolah on the Shabbos over Chamar Medina. The iron is rolling in the streets here. The iron is mostly the cow. And it says the Ferish and the Shulchan Aruch, whenever you can easily get wine, you shouldn't recite Kiddush on Friday night over Pasch, and you shouldn't recite Kiddush on Shabbos morning on the Torah Shabbos Avdola over Chamar Medina. All these dinim really don't apply to these manners. But anyway, so the... That's what Moshe Feinstein wrote in his station. He doesn't see how you can use Chamar Medina. Somebody asked Mishaila, what's the definition of Chamar Medina? What's called Mayim that's never qualified as Chamar Medina? And what can qualify? So Ramesh doesn't talk about this needed in Mishakir. He doesn't mention that at all. He just says if it's a beverage that people only drink when they're thirsty to quench their thirst, then it does not qualify as Chamar Medina. That's called Mayim. And if people drink it to quench their thirst, and sometimes the Mechaber guest, even if he's not thirsty, then it can qualify as Chamar Medina. After writing the whole shul, then he writes, but I don't understand where in the world do you live? He knows where the guy is. He's writing, he's sending the address on the outside of the envelope. He writes, I don't know, where do you live? There's no wine in your city. And it says in the Shulchan Aruch, whenever there's wine available, you're not permitted to use Chamar Medina or bread for Friday night. The Chafetz Chaim very often makes Kiddush on Friday night on bread. You hardly ever, that's how people say, you hardly ever make Kiddush on wine. He had a Becher, you'll see. Chafetz Chaim had a Becher, a very small Becher, doesn't really have this year. But you hardly ever use the Becher. You hardly ever use the Becher for Kiddush on Friday night, because most of the time people say he made Kiddush over bread, because they couldn't afford wine. They would go broke. They were so poor. They couldn't afford any wine. Well, we live in a rich America. Everybody can afford everything. So what should I have to make a Kiddush HaGadol or anything over anything like that? So that's the Shiloh. So they say the shame Rav Chaim Volozhin that he held that tea would be not acceptable for Chamar Medina, because the Gemara tells the story in Arab Sochem that one of the Amoraim was visiting another place and he had to say Hambala and they didn't have any wine, so they had any Chamar Medina, so they gave him something. And he made Hambala and he drank it and he got so drunk that he went to sleep and he woke up on Sunday morning and he said, hey, that's real good Chamar Medina. So Chaim Volozhin said, it might be mashma a little bit from the Gemara that it only qualifies as Chamar Medina if it's needed in the Shaka. It doesn't really say that in the Gemara. The Gemara just says that he got so drunk and he fell asleep, he was sleeping the whole night. The next day he prayed then and he said that it was real strong stuff. It was a non-halachic station, so it was just a comment praising their beer or their wine. Or their schnapps, whatever. Rav Chaim Volozhin is quoted as saying there has to be a needed in the shaka. It's based on that assumption there has to be a needed in the shaka, that there was a whole people in New York. What about milk? If you should assume that you have to have needed in the shaka, what if the minigam needed that you mechabit people with milk? I don't know, in America they're not mechabit anybody with milk. Even if he's not thirsty, but milk in America I don't think is going to sell. But in Europe, there were some countries where milk was, they would give a warm cup of milk to a guest who would come. Even if he's not thirsty, he should drink like we would drink coffee or something. Soda, even if he's not thirsty, so they would drink milk. So that was the Shiloh. One wants to be Machmasa, Chaim Volozhin as Kumre, that Chamar Medina has to be a meat in the Mishaka. What about milk? Never face it. Why should anybody's right mind think that milk is Mishaka? Because as the Gemara increases, that talks about the din. And this week said, the Shikr Asal Lahores, it says, you're not allowed to drink wine when you're going to do Avodas HaKavanos, and it says, the Lahavas is B'nai Yisroel. So the Ma'am Krisis says, and Ma'am Beis says in the first period, that you're not permitted to pass in the Shaila if Shasa Revi is all yours. If you drank a little bit of wine, if you drank anything that's Meshaker, you're not allowed to pass. So the Ma'am has a whole Machlokes HaPanoim, what if the Kohen of the Shikr Mishal Meshakrin, What if he was drunk because Shasa Chala, he drank the milk and he became drunk, and then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he does Avodas HaKorbanos. So if you have the same din of a Shasa Yana, if the din of the Shtiri only applies to wine, or does it even apply to Shikra, Mishan, Mishan, Mishan? You see from the Gemara that there exists such a thing that Chala is Mishaka. That's what it would appear. That's what they say, that the Ragachavi used to say that even if one wants to be Machmir for Abchaim Balaj and Eskumre, Chala is needed in Mishaka, no Harayi in that Gemara. So when they told all of us, they're all so he thought that was a big joke. First they told him the Ragachavi said it, the right thing was on his God. And then they told him what, so he didn't like that. He thought that milk is not an intoxicating beverage. The Gemara probably means something else, that it's milk can put you to sleep and make the person drowsy, whatever. So that Tana who thinks that a Shikra Misham Shakram is forbidden to do Aveda by the Korbanos and includes milk as well must have a different definition of what it means Shikra Misham Shakram. It means that he got something that made him drowsy, but it doesn't mean that it's intoxicating. He thought that milk was no good if you hold up that Tana level. The Kashrut Rebbe has a tshuva in his sefer. Kashrut Rebbe was a Rebbe in Kashrut Rebbe. And after he was in the Rabbanus, then he was appointed the Rosh Hashiva in Lublini Yeshiva. The Lublini Rebbe invited him to be the Rosh Hashiva then. Then he was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he had a tshuva sefer that's called Eretz. He has a very, very, very strange tshuva. Very strange tshuva. He has a tshuva where he talks about that he says Berkei Agafim and champagne because it's carbonated. Maybe that's called the Shtani Ligviyuta. The fact that they carbonate it. Drayton, he probably comes to the conclusion that it's the Shtani Ligviyuta. That if I write it, you pay more money for champagne than for regular wine, so that's all right, that people enjoy it better. So he thinks that that's not the Shtani Ligviyuta, they are the Shtani Ligviyuta. I know a fellow who always makes kiddush every Shabbos because when he got married, he got to bring wine for the bichas eretz and under the chuppah. So they had to run into the caterer and get a bottle of champagne. They were having champagne on the other table. So he used champagne under his chuppah for the bichas eretz and bichas yisrael. So then, from the day that he got married, he always used champagne. So every kiddush I brought, he used champagne. So what's he got? Very nice. In Reish Einat is a machlegis, a machaber, and a mogen Avraham regarding the din of Amroth Tzor Sheitam. The machaber writes that this din can be fulfilled even if you don't drink directly from the Kodesh Avraham. Let's say recite Kiddush over Kos Yayin. It's a big becher of wine. Kos Shalavios, so again, he's becher. I don't want to drink the wine. I'm going to be pouring the whole wine. Then I have to be misakin at the gim by pouring either a little wine into the cup or a little water into the cup. He does not stop pouring after he tasted it. So he wants to pour up some of the wine into a smaller cup and drink from the smaller cups. And the Chabad says that that's perfectly all right. What can be wrong with that? And Magen Avraham says that there's a place in Arvi Pesachim where it says that that's not acceptable. And the Rosh Tzor Sheitam says that's right in the Gemara. And the Rosh Tzor Sheitam, you have to be coming from the place that has the Revius in it. If you said Berkei Agafim in the middle of the week, not a Kreishal Bracha because you're thirsty, you want to drink wine, not a Kreishal Bracha. And there is no halach and rav tzor sheitam, you want to drink the wine. You don't want to put your saliva in, other people want to drink. So then they said that's perfectly all right. Throw off a little wine into another cup and then drink the wine from the other cup. But if you want to drink from the place of bracha to satisfy the requirement of the rav tzor sheitam, you have to be toying from the place that has the malay lugma, that has the revius in it. You have to drink the malay lugma from the place that has the revius. They don't say that it has to be malay. They just say that it has to have the revius in it. They would probably say that that's okay. That would probably be okay. What's the definition of molay? Got it. What is the definition of molay? Molay all the way to the top, till it's ready to spill over. That's called molay al kol gadoso. That's a different thing. What's molay? How much can be missing that it's still called molay? 5%, 10% empty. 29%. The cup is 51% full. It's almost half empty, but it's slightly more than half full. That's called molay. It has to be 99% full. What's the shiur? So there's a Gemara in, we started it yesterday, but we never finished it. There is a Gemara in Brachos, Tanayim have a machlekes, whether the Yayin, to recite Berkei Avraham, all other juices are shahakalik. That's the Yayin is Berkei Avraham. and except for May Gaius, then the guy is also very to wait sometimes. You know, has a special case. But all the other juices are shahakha, so the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. Maybe wine is only brachah brachah, it's a special brachah if you did mezigah. If you didn't do mezigah, if yain chai, so since it doesn't really taste so good, it's too strong, too sharp, maybe then it should be shahakha. We pass on that. We pass on that not only is it Berkei HaGotam if it's Mazur, but if it's Chai, it's also Berkei HaGotam. But still it's Marathis, but Chai Shal Duach, the proper thing is, you should make it Mazur, then you should taste it. The taste is no Rishon HaBadah, but Akasha, that don't Mar Fakir. The Mara says, when Amara says there were 10 dinim regarding the Chai Shal Duach HaMazur, that's called the Chai Shal Duach. Chai Shal Duach usually means Chai Shal Duach HaMazur. Sometimes we use the term Chai Shal Duach, I mean any Duach HaLakot. Kiddush alakos, avod alakos, tichas amazon alakos, tichas erzin alakos, by a priest mili said brach alakos. So sometimes we use the term very loosely, meaning kosher brach, any brach alakos. But strictly speaking, in the Talmudic terminology, the term refers to a kosher brichas amazon. That's called a kosher brach. So the Amoraim say, one Amoraim says there are 10 dinim in a kosher brach, and then the other Amoraim chisel it down, less than 10. It's a black that there are 4 dinim. One Amoraim, the Shulchanatik talk. There are 4 dinim in the kosher brach. Shtichai, molei, shtifa, hadoch. Shtifa, hadoch means you should rinse the cup out on the inside and the outside. That din carries over here to Kiddush as well. It says you should have shtifa, hadoch. The kosher should be rinsed out on the inside and on the outside before you fill it up with the wine. Let's say if the kosher is dirty, you had been drinking wine previously, has crumbs in it, whatever, so it's not right to fill it up with wine to make Kiddush. You have to rinse out the cup. If the cup is taken out, it was washed left in the place Shabbos. And it's in the cabinet, and you take it out, and there's no dirt in it at all. So then the Magen Avraham says that you don't have to rinse out the cup at all. The Kaf HaChaim quotes are from Kabbalah Swam, it says that you should also. Yeah? That's any kosher bracha, should really. The Gemara only has it, you need shtifa v'adacha for kosher bracha tamozi. That's the only place it says in the Gemara. But here in the Hilchos Kiddush, they quote it to Kiddush also, you should have shtifa v'adacha. That's a shayla on Pesach night. You fill up the cup the first time, so you rinse it out before you fill up the cup the first time. Then the second brach Hashem Yalamu, and the third brach of Brichas Hamoz, and the fourth brach of Brichas Hashir, you don't rinse it out. So the Achraim say you really should rinse it out for Brichas Hamoz, and for the first brach and each tif vada. So what about the second and the fourth cup? So they assume that doesn't need shtif vada. You only need shtif vada for the kosher Brichas Hamoz, and that's the more kosher brach. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "Rabbi Nami Koshal Kiddush." And any other bracha lakos, they assume does not need shtifa v'adacha. Some gedolim were mamakpid on Pesach night to rinse out the cup each time before they would fill it up anew. They would rinse it out from the previous use, even though they were the ones who were drinking from before. But still, they need shtifa v'adacha. I think they call that kufah in Baktik about that. They would rinse out the cup there for each one of the arbitrators. So they treated each one like a koshal bracha. If it's not Batki, the first cost is Kiddush, and the third cost is Brichas Hamoz. Any kosher bracha, you should have Shtifa V'adacha. So here the Magen Avraham says, you only need Shtifa V'adacha if it's dirty. If the cost is clean, you washed it out and put away in the cabinet and you take it out, so there's no need to rinse it out. But Kiddush, people on the Batki to rinse it out because in the Kabbalah sound it doesn't matter. The Kaf HaChaim quotes here from the Zohar or something, from other sources, even if it's a clean cup, still off the list, you should rinse it out with shtif v'adacha before you use it. So that's the first two din of the kosher brich samad, a shtif v'adacha. Then there's the din mole, it should be full. Then there's the din chai. So all the Rishonim ask chai, that's two fakir. L'chadchila the Gemara says the kosher brich should be mazug. Even though we pass from that you say for two agrafen if the yain is chai, but l'chadchila you should really have yain mazug so the taste more pleasant. It's a better taste if it's mazug. Akne matai chai kastir. So the various Rishonim given, various traditions given by the Rishonim to this kash. So one of the famous answers is, the Tosfos quotes really on it. One of the answers is that chai means that the kosh should be chai, not the yain should be chai. Yain chai means that it wasn't mazur. Kosh chai means that it's not shavur. If the kosh is chipped, if the kosh is broken, then it's called a kosh mace. It's not chai in contrast to mazur, it's rather chai in contrast to mace. So the Gemara says in Bava Kama that shvirat is doing misosim. The Gemara says that by a bird, not a shem shorah chamor, so the Gemara learns that shorah liyadim chamor v'lo kelim. And the Gemara says that a bird is only potter on nisat adam, but on nitkeh adam yechayet. So the Gemara says, so how do you say chamor v'lo kelim that you potter on kelim, but on nitkeh adam yechayet, on nitkeh kelim you should be chayet. So the Gemara says, no, when kelim break, when kelim smash, shvirot mezuhi nisosim, that's considered a dead kli. So when the halacha requires that abor didn't name the koishal bracha, the koishal bracha should be chai. Not that the yayin should be chai, the yayin should be melted, but the koish should be chai, in contrast to mace, then it shouldn't be a kli shover. That's how Tesis and Shabbos calls Lomsha. Or it's Tatavala and Shabbos is here. So Tesis must have Shabbos, give that in. I don't think so. I think Tosfos asked that. I think they say the break, to the extent that it's broken, it's dead. Any chip is puffed by bor. Any chip on the tree is puffed by bor. And if it's chipped in the sense that it's not nice, then you shouldn't use it to kiddush or for birchas hamazon. That's why Moshe found. But the other, if you don't have a b'di'evet, if you make kiddush on a kli shofar, it will also be good, as long as it's a kli. If you hold the wine and you hear like this, and you're going to take kiddush, you're going to drink it, then you're not good. You have to have a kli. But even if the kli is a little bit broken, as long as you held it, even though it's not covered up rough, it's a b'di'evet, you would be good. That's why Moshe Feinstein, the Chacham Rav, has in one of his latest farm on Arach Chaim. He has a kiddush that if you want to use a paper cup or a plastic cup for kiddush, that's the same as a clean shovel. Because since you discard it, you use it, then you throw it out in the garbage. Even if you use it a few times, then you throw it out. But that doesn't have a chashivas like a glass or like a silver cup. Even if the din does require that it should be a silver cup for kiddush, even if it's a tin cup or even if it's a wooden cup, it's also good. It should be chashivas with some degree of chashivas to it. If it's a paper cup that you throw out in the garbage, so I'm not sure it says in the Hatsili you shouldn't use it. But yet, if you use it, it thinks it would have the same status as a Kli Shomer, that it would be good. Not the same as St. Kiddush with the Rhine in the end, but you're not even going to be the Yevit, the Kli is not. I think you're thinking that a plastic cup is not proper to use it for. The plastic that you use a few times and you throw it out.
Yeah, I think I heard it.
Maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what we have that, right. The Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Talmud that if you make kiddush on water and then you realize that it's not wine, but you had a bottle of wine on the table and you had a mind to drink more than this cup, so then you get to the yavid with that kiddush. You don't have to throw the book on that. That was a shayla. Other achronim disagreed. They said that the bottle is not the kli that you drink from, so the wine wasn't in a kli for drinking purposes. So that wouldn't be good for the yevit. So Mishnah Berurah for the yevit relied on that time.
What is the complete shovel? Is it just a tiny chip on the top of it? How big
is the chip? Don't know. Got to look and help us be a Muslim. They have all of these. Don't know. That's really some significant chip. So one answer to this theory, how can it be that the Gemara requires dafke yayin? If the Gemara requires dafke chai, it says before it should not be chai. So one answer is, no, the kosh should be chai, but I shall go, and the yayin should be melted with a chai. It's not two different things. And then there are other answers given. Rashi and the Gemara give us a different answer. Rashi learns that the kosh should be chai, the yayin should be chai. Chai means that it should be fresh. You should open up a new barrel. Every time you're about to recite Brichas Hamazon Al HaYayin, you should open up a new barrel. Or you should pour out the wine from the barrel for the purpose of reciting Brichas Hamazon Al HaKol. It should be pure chai, fresh. But it doesn't mean that it should be chai in contrast to Muslim. And then, one of the other answers was given by the Rishonim. There have been Talmud and Sanhedrin gives the name of Perek Torah Mora, and they quote him in Shabbos and Perek HaMoitzi Yayin also. The Talmud gives the answer. And Kosha Bracha should be Mazid Velo Mazid. It shouldn't be completely Mazid. So when you say that it should be Chai, it means it shouldn't be as Mazid as you would normally make it. Why should you have Mazid Velo Mazid? In order to stress the Shevach HaOretz, that the Paris, the grapes grew so well that you were able to make sharp wine that has a sharp flavor to it. So it's going to be Mazid Meganrei, so you don't see in the wine that you're using any Shevach HaOretz. And you want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that the Paris grew so well. So that's why Dafke Koshal Zichas HaMazon, not a Koshal Zichas HaMazon, but Dafke Koshal Zichas HaMazon, you should be Yichai in the sense of Mazik Velo Mazik. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. And then Rabbeinu Yoina, there in Brooklyn, gives a different answer. He says that when you start to recite Zichas HaMazon Al HaKos, the Kos should be filled up with a little bit of wine. Chai. At the beginning of the Zichas HaMazon should be Yain Chai, and it should be empty. The Kos should be a little bit empty. And then when you get to the end of the Mezalachah, However, the Torah should not turn off, and you get to the end of the bracha, then the Gemara, that's what it says, no, then the Gemara says you should be Moses with God, then you should pour in the wine, and then you make it Moses. So the Gemara that says that the yain of Dirichas HaMazon should be Moses, that means by the time you're going to drink it, it's going to be Moses. When are you going to make it Moses? At the conclusion of the second bracha of Moses. But at the beginning of the Dirichas HaMazon, when you start the bench, then it has to be high, because you didn't do the Mizrigan yet. You're going to do the Mizrigan in the front. That's the answer to this contradiction. How can it be high and Moses at the same time? Because at the beginning it should be high. You should make the Mizrigan in the middle. So then there are Ben Yoni asks on himself, on the side of the rift, on the bracha, he asks on himself. But how can that be? Because you have to have more legs. So you give two answers. One answer is, by the end of the benching, it will be more legs. So it's like by the end of the Birchas HaMazon, it will be Mazut. So by the end of the Birchas HaMazon, it will be more legs. Even in the beginning, it's not more. Then he gives another answer, that Molly doesn't mean that it's all the way filled up to the top. One is it's obvious that it's the robe of the tree is full of wine, even though it's an inch down. It's a big back on it. Let's say 75% full. So you say that that satisfies the requirements of Molly. That's called Molly. If that's not called Molly, I'll call Gedoso. When it comes to Hilfe Samdola, we talk about the coast Molly, I'll call Gedoso. That's a hidden mitzvah. But just strictly speaking, for the purpose of Molly, but I couldn't need Molly, but yeah, but if you don't have Molly, what is it? Don't get it with you.
And
Molly's
3-1, so we
would get 25% more. So that's it. If you had such a big that you only put in 1 unit of wine and you're going to fill up the majority of the cup later, so then that would only be possible if you follow the other answer that I've been given. As long as Molly at the end of the first time, Molly will be satisfied. It comes to the other answer that you require Molly from the very beginning on, so it means that you drink a little bit of the Mizrig in the beginning. Therefore, I said every time you did it in the beginning, the Birchas HaMazon is Mazik below Mazik. And literally, the Birchas HaMazon is going to make it fully Mazik. So, what do you mean you're going to make it fully Mazik? Now it's full, and then you're going to pour in more water, it's going to overflow. He said, no, you leave it empty a little bit. You leave it 25% empty. And you fill in the rest of the water in the end of Nagelapa. And he said, that's called Mazik. It doesn't have any problem. That is called Mazik. Covered. Smoke covered it. It's better to recite the Kiddush of Birchas HaMazon on a smaller coast. That'll be more lay rather than to say in a big coast, that'll be hot. No, the overflow, that's only a shayla of Havdalah, because the Gemara says that any home where wine spills in the beginning of the week, on the Toy Shabbos, it'll be a simibrocha. So that's why they developed the meaning over the years to pour wine into the cup for Havdalah so it should overflow onto the floor. So I'm talking about overflowing on the floor, because the Gemara talks about wine spilling in the house, as you see the graph at the beginning of the week. And I just said, no, it doesn't mean that you have to overflow. It says to be wine of the kosher bracha to have the wine spill on the floor. You should have a cup on the bottom for any wine that spills over. You should drink it. You should waste it. Pashka. Different reasons. But you say still, if the heat of it is to be molly, I'll call the boat. But strictly speaking, the requirement of Molly is satisfied even if it's not our COVID offer, even if it's just 75% full. Yeah, this would be good for Havdalah too. Look how clearly we require to have Havdalah Molly our COVID offer. I don't think so. Why you can drink it? Just the Makhlojus HaKaran, whether you say Shahak or you say Baruch Yadav, we pass me to say Baruch Yadav, what can I? It's going to taste better when it's not good. Mm-hmm. That's good. The Magen Avraham quotes this Tosfos from Arutz Tzav, and he says that they say he forgot the Tosfos. If he would have remembered, he wouldn't have written Fakir. That you can pour off from the coast to another cup and then drink him a little bit more from there. He says that it's the same which doesn't have a wife in the Gemara Nafsa. That's the Shailah Halacha. Some of them say it's not true, but if they say it's new to Tosfos, and he held that their Rai was Nishken Rai. But he doesn't mention the Tosfos, and if they say it doesn't mention it, and explain why their Rai is Nishken Rai. Sounds as if we forgot all about it. That's the Shailah, whether that's proper or not. A lot of people do it. That's the Shailah, that's right enough. To take Kiddush and then to pour the wine into another cup where you won't have a Revius. You pour it, you have a Revius there, so even Tosfos will be satisfied.
They said
that
some other kids were supposed to say it was okay.
some for Birchas Hanenim all week long, not for a Peshal Bracha, and then it's perfect, then Peshal has ignored, that's perfectly all right, it's still to another time. But the question is not for the purpose of Birchas Hanenim, for the purpose of Peshal Bracha, and you have a din. And brought Sosha Yitzon, the places has a right in the morning, now it's tough, and they have to drink from that cause that has the review. The Machabit quotes the din in the Tinnin Reish Ayin Aleph that even if Toam Mekadesh, he may not have eat before Kiddush, but if he ate before the Kiddush, he's still beside Kiddush. What's the tradition of the morning? And Avid Tzachim is a Machlek Yisam Arayim about that. Whether it's Toam Mekadesh and Toam Mabdil, a Toam Ein Mekadesh and Toam Ein Mabdil. So we pass from that B'di'evet Toam is Mekadesh and Toam is Mabdil. Why in the world should there be an opinion that Toam Ein Mekadesh and Toam Ein Mabdil? So he violated the Yisrael HaTchila. He said, not ready before he died on Shabbat. You're going to say, if you want to have your egg, you feel like you're not ready to die on Shabbat. You're not ready to eat lunch before you died on Minchah. Shabbat before you died on Minchah. You want to have your egg lunch before, you feel like you're not ready to die on Minchah. It doesn't make any sense. You're not ready to eat before Kiddush and Abdullah, like you're not ready to eat before you bench Esther. You're not ready before you hit Kiyah Shaita. But you're going to go and say that even with the Yevred, how can a demon dominate the night? Even the Abbot United Kippur. Obviously, the answer is that the prohibition against eating before Kiddush and before Abdullah was something more than the Yitzhar of eating before the Tivas Lulog, that's in the Mishnah and Matan HaSukkah. It has to be because it says you're not even allowed to drink water before Kiddush. You're allowed to drink water before the Kiyah Shefer. You're allowed to drink water before even Te'imah's milk. You can have a little mash, a little bit of one, let's say, a person already down in Rosh Hashanah. And wants to have a snack before Kiyah Shefer. To have a Te'imah is permitted, just have a real food there as well. Te'imah's milk here, even to have Malim is also. So obviously there's something with some additional min over here. So that's what the Rashbam has on Abit Sofim. But obviously there's some additional din. What is the additional din? There's Mizrabim, there's some Azari. That's the rich, you gave a whole Yart HaTshir on it. This is the first Yart HaTshir that I have. It's from my Bamit. So he says, the Gemara says in Brachas, that Gemara that the Mishnah Berurah quoted from Daf Lamed Gimel in Brachas, that Hanavdu B'tzila Tzach Shiyavdala Lakot, just like by Kiddush. Even though he already davened. Avadav the Mekadosh B'tzilusa, Hoda Mekadosh HaKasa, Avadav Lamani. I've got the mouth of the tzilah, how the mouth deal, akasa. You should say havdol al akot. So why taka? But if it was already yet to havdol the first time, already yet to kiddush the first time, what is the second kiddush and the second havdol? What purpose does it serve? What function does it serve? Should be a bracha al akot? How are you allowed to say kiddush and havdol the second time, you're yet to the first time? So the chavdol, you have to say the razbam has it to lose. The chavdol, you have to say the following. You meet this kiddush and havdol, you would taka yet to the first time. Mogen Avram said, or the Mishnah Berurah times you didn't have Kavana Lord says, maybe 1 year, but if you would have had Kavana to be Yitzhak, Havdala the Tzimah, the Mitzvah Havdala, and Kiddush the Tzimah, the Mitzvah Kiddush, you would have been Yitzhak. So why do you have to recite the Havdala Lakos in the Kiddush Lakos? That apparently is a new thing. Kidei Lahavdol ben Achilos the Rishus, Achilos the Mitzvah. That whatever food you eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov is Achilos Mitzvah. Not only the foods that you eat, even the snacks that you have are also Mitzvah. Whatever you eat on your most achol is achilas and reshus. In order to be mavdol between achilas and reshus and achilas mitzvah, the chachamim are misakin that you should recite kiddush al hayayin, not kiddush b'tzilah. That's not enough. Kiddush b'tzilah is the mitzvah they write. Abzach HaTem Shabbos Lekach is achor al hayayin. But kiddush al hayayin we assume is the rabbanon, the alakot, al hayayin is only the rabbanon. What does the takon al hayayin in connection with food to distinguish between atkan with achilas and reshus and kan v'yelech is Achilas Mitzvah. The same Abdullah on the same Shabbos. Akan was Achilas Mitzvah, Mikani Elah was Achilas Mitzvah. It's this Gemara that is only going close in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah when it says that we know we have a minute of Rosh Shefer the entire Chodesh Elul up until the Erev Rosh Hashanah, but not on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't Rosh Shefer. Why not? So we give two reasons to shut off. One reason is we wanted to confuse the Sutton. Then Abed is not Sutton, we don't know what's going on. And the other reason, he still hasn't figured it out. All the easier still hasn't figured it out. And then the other reason that they give is the halachic reason. That's the one, there's only one quote that he doesn't give any makaris for mixing up the stuff. But it gives a makaris for the other one, that the second reason why we don't Rosh Hashanah on Erev Rosh Hashanah is because they have the ben tkiyah the reshus of tkiyah shal mitzvah. Then a Rosh Hashanah tkiyah is a real chiyah der Eisah. The second Erev Rosh Hashanah is a chiyah der Abbanam. But on Chodesh Elul it's only a minik. So in order to distinguish between tkiyah the reshus, the minik, of Tkiyas and Chodesh Elul and Tkiyas Shal Chayvah, you make a Havdalah by not blowing on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Zomu Gaon gives us a mock of Pesach and Daf Kuf. Clearly you have a matter in the halacha that you have to make a hadara between reshus and a mitzvah, so he calls tefachim daf kuf parosh matan mekadesh. It says you have, and the Rashbam says, "Today we have the benachilu the reshus, benachilu the mitzvah." So apparently that seems to be the whole yisrael of the takanas rachamim of kiddush al hayayin and hadara al hayayin. So that's why one opinion is more held that if Torah, that's why you're not even going to have water before kiddush. Because hadara is mitzvah. Before kiddush, you're not even going to have water. In order to be mavdil, in order to make a hefker and a hadolah between a hafrosha between achivas olvich lulam, which is reshulat, and achivas on Shabbos and yandik, which is mitzvah. So that's only one opinion in the world. That Torah made him a kaddish and Torah made him mavdil. If by mistake you went and you had a cup of water, so your kiddush will not be a hadolah between achivas reshulat and achivas mitzvah. You already have some achivas mitzvah, the cup of water that you had. After Shabbos began, before you said kiddush, by mistake, if you had a drink of water. Sometimes they have these weekends, they have the OU weekends and the YU weekends and the whatever, all these weekends they have darshan and they have people speak so all the time. People darshan, so they have somebody speak in between Kabbalah, Shabbos and Meir. Or they have someone else speak in between Shabbos Shudas and Meir on the Toy Shabbos. And the guy speaks for so long, so he gets thirsty. So it's a very common practice. They have a cup of water and the guy starts drinking water. So before Havdalah and Mishgatah, that's not so bad. Then he gives his own drink before Havdalah, but before Kiddush it's a good one, feel a Mayim. Even more, you're not allowed to drink before Kiddush. Even if you're the speaker, but don't speak. So you work around the whole speech, but you can't even work around the dish. So then you know that you're not allowed to drink water, even water before Kiddush. So let's say you're in the Torah of that Torah, that if you drink water on Lel Shabbos, that was even the drinking of the sip of water is ready, Achim Yisrael Mitzvah. That's only Shabbos. You drank some water on Shabbos. So your kiddush that you recite later will no longer be a demarcation and a havdalah and a hafrosh between achilas the rishus and achilas the mitzvah. So there's no use in reciting the kiddush. You're going to daven the tefillah anyway. You have already daven the tefillah. So what do you have to recite the kiddush al hayayin for if it's not going to serve any function? We pass you not so. Avatim shetam, nevertheless, and carry. That's the shayla what? That's the shayla what? But if he's ready to the kiddush, if he's ready to the finish, why should he repeat the second kiddush? Yeah, that's for sure. But that's when he goes by himself and still says that he has to repeat the kiddush. Yeah, if the other people didn't violate the din, for sure you say then there wouldn't be any much later. But even if he goes by himself and he ate before, so that's the kiddush in the mother, you still have to repeat the kiddush. You know, you said kiddush the tefillah, still have to repeat the kiddush all of that. That's the shalom. Why? Why is that still to be mavdil between achilas and reshus and achilas mitzvah to the best of your ability? You know it's not going to be 100% havdalah. You say no. Kach tikna chacham.
Shabbos morning, you can't have any yisur against eating before kiddush. What can be wrong? You already said kiddush in the beginning of Shabbos, you're going to say Havdalah yet, and I'm Shabbos, and everything between is sandwiched. All the achilas of Shabbos are sandwiched in between. You should have kiddush from up to the Sunday time. What's wrong if you nibble anything kiddush? What can be the yisur? They write it out, you put it wrong. The Rambam holds not so, but you still, you're not allowed to eat before kiddush on Shabbos morning either. It's a question, according to the Rambam, what's the Gerer Adin of kiddush on Shabbos morning, but you're not allowed to eat before that kiddush. Why not? But to drink a cup of water before Shabbos is mitzvah. But if you daven and then you come home and you're waiting, then you're not even allowed to have a cup of water from the Rambam before Kiddush. Why? If it's just the same as davening, a cup of water should be mitzvah. So it must be that it's the Kiddush that could do it. How can it be the Kiddush that could do it? But the Kiddush that could do it, to be mavdil ben achilas to reshus achilas to mitzvah, should only be the Kiddush on Friday night. And the Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos, and everything in between is all Achilah Shal Mitzvah. So that's the right, it's time against the wrong. I don't know, we rely on that rightly to a certain extent. There is a machlokes later regarding the din of kiddush b'makom suda and reisha and gimel. How much of a suda do you have to have? So the Mechaber quotes the opinion of the Gaonim in Sichei, Kosh Ha'Gaonim, page 104, that the requirement of kiddush b'makom suda doesn't need dafke, should be the suda for which you're going to wash, even though it's a suda in the reisha and dalit, sif dalit. That the suda is leil Shabbos, and the suda is Shabbos b'boike, yafshal asar isa b'loi pas, you have to have dafke bread. And if you don't wash for bread, you're not yotze. Shal l'shudas is a machlokes, it will show you whether you're yotze with that bread or not. So the chassidim should wash and have bread, and believe that if you didn't have bread, you would be yotze. But the first two sudas for sure have to have pas. Nevertheless, the goyim say in Reish Ayin Gimel, Sifrei, in page 104, that you can satisfy the requirements of kiddush b'makom suda even if you don't have bread, even if you just have cake, or even if you just have yayin. If you have yayin, that will also constitute kiddush b'makom suda. The Chabad just says that peir is not, and others are making even peir, others are making on peir. There's some different opinions everywhere. So the Goyim apparently are of the opinion kiddush b'makom suda doesn't mean that in order to compare the suda, the shame suda Shabbos, you have to recite kiddush in connection with that suda. But the kiddush is covered. You're not eating the suda Shabbos, no, just making kiddush and having cake, and then you're going to go for a walk and come back an hour later and then eat the suda, and you're not going to have any kiddush then. So the kiddush b'makom suda is not for the purpose of being compared the suda of the shame suda Shabbos. What's the getter I did? Apparently they must tell, that's how they say the Shiva. They hold the family that the kiddush makom suda is that you need the suda to enhance the yayin shal kiddush. The yayin that comes in conjunction with afila is more choshev than yayin that comes with meyatza. So you have to have yayin choshev. So you make the yayin and the yayin choshev by having suda with it. Either the suda or having yayin, a lot of yayin with it, or having some cake with it. The Vilna Goyim, Paskins, and Maaser Rav, because the Vilna Goyim is always medaktik, and the Bira boy doesn't say a word about it. And the Maaser Rav, because the Goyim didn't follow that opinion. And the Bira boy doesn't say, because the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. The Bira boy usually doesn't give his own opinion. He just gives you minor comments. So what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says this, he gives you the minor comments. The Ramah says that, he gives you the minor comments. Most of the time, he doesn't say that he knows. And in other Svarim they quote what his own personal opinion was. So here in the Maaser Rav they quote that the Goyim disagree. And he held Lalacha, the Iker is like the other Shittas HaRishayim. The Kiddush Mokum Suda, like the Rosh I think it is, that you only fulfill Kiddush Mokum Suda if you have the Suda's past with which he yates the Suda Shabbos. Why? So that's the Rav Soloveitchik said, apparently he's of the opinion that Kiddush Mokum Suda is needed for the purpose of being conveyed the Suda, the shame Suda Shabbos. So you really shouldn't make kiddush and have cake right away coming to the door. You should only make kiddush when you're about to have bread. So most people rely on this Shittas HaGoyim. No, on Shabbos morning. A lot of people make kiddush and have cake. And then they go home and they eat their meal. And they don't really have kiddush walking through all the time. So the whole thing is that they're following the Shittas HaGoyim. So the Mishnah Berurah says that this is really a Shverah Shitta. Because when the Kivegan and Aruch Haim quotes that many Rishonim disagree with the Shittas HaGoyim. So he doesn't recommend that you should follow this. So if he recommends that nobody should follow it, how come everybody follows it? How come anybody needs to follow? So the Magen Avraham says, because that's what we passed him. Whether you like it or not, that's how we passed him, like the Goyim. That it's called Kiddush Mokum Suda, even if you only have cake. So the Magen Avraham says, that's the law is usually the following psak, a law is a person has to eat Shabbos Shudas on Shabbos. So the Gemara says he has to eat one suit on Leil Shabbos and two suits by Yom. What if he didn't feel well on Leil Shabbos? He wasn't able to eat, fell asleep. So then he says in the Shulchan Aruch he should eat all the three suits by Yom, because it says the marker for the din of Shabbos Shudas is the fact that it says three times by the month Hayom Yichlu, Hayom Kishabbos, Hayom Hashem, Hayom Losin Su Basodas. It says three times Hayom, so the three Hayom refer to the three meals. So one time Rav Chitke says the three meals all have to be by Yom, in addition to the Suras Leil Shabbos, you have to have four meals. That's why Rav Chitke eat four meals, and the fourth meal they call Suras Rav Chitke. It's one time in the Gemara it says like that. We don't pass like that. Things are supposed to be best at all. It's best and best. So we pass him that you don't have to have three meals by Yom and one meal Friday night. Ayom refers to all three. One Suras should be Friday night and two by Yom. So the Shulchan Aruch says that since it's lined up in the Pasuk Hayom, so if you did all three by Yom, you would be Yetzer B'Riyah. That's a guy, let's say he's in close to the North Pole, South Pole, whatever, and the day is going to be very, very short. The night is going to be very long. He wants to eat all the 3 meals balayla. For that, he wouldn't be able. He can eat as many meals as he wants, but he's only able to eat 1 meal at night, and we have to have 2 suddas bayam. The shorter the day, we have to have 2 suddas bayam. But in the end, if we have all 3 suddas bayam, he would be able. So the Malach Avraham says the following kiddush. What happens when a person on Friday night doesn't feel well? And he doesn't feel up to eating a meal. He's stuffed, or he's sick, whatever. So he would prefer to eat all the 3 meals bayam. So he says, no. So Shachar Chakri Evagami, so you rely on the fact that you're going to eat all the 3 meals bayam. But you want to make kiddush with Kriyas Hayom. It says in the beginning of Reish Ayin Aleph that you might have the yard to recite the Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. You shouldn't wait till Shabbos morning after Musaf and make Kiddush, the long Kiddush. If you didn't make Kiddush Friday night, then you have to say the whole Kiddush with the whole, everything but by Chuli, so the whole Baruch on Shabbos morning. But the Chuli is supposed to say Kiddush. I take it from the yard. So let him say Kiddush, and Mokhan Rambam says, let him say Kiddush on Friday night and go to sleep and read all the 3 meals on Shabbos morning. The problem is that the Kiddush has to be Mokhan Suda. He says, so let him follow the Gaimim. That's not enough. He talks about the Gaimim. Then it's called Kiddush Malchus Suda. If you have a reveal of wine, even though the Malchus Suda is enough for the Hamarot Tosha Yitam, but for the purpose of Kiddush Malchus Suda, you have to have a full reveal. So the Mishkan Dura says you have to have a reveal in addition to the Malchus Suda. Machlokes HaKoinim. So the Magen Avraham says, fine, we solve the problem. The person should say Kiddush on Friday night, and then they should have a little extra wine, either up until the Reveal, so the Reveal is plus the Malay Lubnov, or you should have in addition to the Malay Lubnov with the Kiddush, you should have a little cake. Then you should say, well, I'm going to go to sleep and have all the 3 meals by Yom, and it'll be eight. So the Mishnah Berurah is that he's not so happy about this Magen Avraham. He thinks that you really shouldn't follow these games. So that's a way to thought that that's not such a popular idea, this Magen Avraham. You ever heard of anybody doing that? Friday night you say Kiddush and then have cake and then go to sleep and only eat all the 3 meals on Shabbos. It's a very rare cake. So it's a basic thought that the fact that we have the minig to recite Kiddush on Shabbos morning to have cake does not necessarily indicate that we follow 100% the Shita HaGoyim. Maybe it's based on the fear of Hashitas between the Raivit and the Goyim. The Haimu that the Goyim say Kiddush Machin Suda is sufficient if you have cake. According to that, you're Yossi and Kiddush Machin Suda. And even if you follow the other opinions, who are perhaps the majority of the Pesachim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from Kedega, who thinks that everybody disagrees with these Goyim, like the Roma Goyim, hold that it's wrong. So still, but you always have the right of Shita to rely on, the right of that you're permitted to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So what's wrong? To have a snack and shul after Musa, to have wine, to have schnapps, to have fish, to have cake, whatever, to have a whole meal, chalk, whatever, to have a whole meal. So Enochanam is so I'm not washing, so I'm not yet for Suda Shabbos. So I won't be yet for Kiddush. Kiddush has to be Malachim Suda. So I'll eat as much, I can eat a ton of food. There's no way around. I'll eat bread and I'll have Kiddush Malachim Suda. So I was already thought that perhaps the meaning for Olam to be made or to have Kiddush on Shabbos morning and then have some cake and then nash things doesn't necessarily mean that we follow the Goyim straight. It doesn't mean that we should follow that Magen Avraham, but even on Friday night you can do that stunt. Make Kiddush and have cake, you go to sleep and then have 3 meals by Yom. No? Perhaps what it's based on is that Tzirah Fashita is sort of like a sex sake, that Tzirah Fashita is of the blaming with the Raivit. Maybe the meaning is like the Raivit that you permitted to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. And even if the meaning is that it's also, maybe the Goyim are right, but this is the Kiddush. If that's the Pshat and the meaning of Olam, that is based on a sex sake, or sort of a Tzirah Fashita is, then you have to repeat your Kiddush again when you get home. You had the Kiddush in this, you had Yayin, and then you had cakes and all kinds of things. So you committed to eat at that time based on the Tzirah Bashita. But then later on, when you go home and you eat Kippah, then you should repeat the Kiddush again. You say again, Baruch Yavah. So before, if you hold like you're going in straight away, then there's no need to repeat the Kiddush later on. Then you follow the Magen Avraham mostly. You do the same stunt on Friday night. But if your whole like our salvation suggested is based on the Tzirah Hashita, then the proper thing is to repeat the Kiddush line. Yeah? No, you're eating before Kiddush. The Rambam says you're not letting people
sit.
Yeah, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They don't report the Raivit. They keep it a secret. The Raivit keeps it, but they're allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. It's a dangerous hetzah, yeah. They don't quote that in Shulman. This quote, that just like it's forbidden to eat before Kiddush on Friday night, even water, but they're not allowed to even drink water before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Unless you're going to drink the water before davening, before Shabbos, which is not yet the Zman HaSuda,
So then there's no din of eating before Kiddush. Because it's not the Zman of Kiddush yet. You can't eat the Seder until after he's davening. So din is eaten after he's davening. So before davening is not yet the Zman of Kiddush. It's not the Zman of Kiddush yet. There's no violation, there's no prohibition of eating before Kiddush. But after davening, you're not even allowed to drink a cup of water on Shabbos morning. So they don't quote it right. Kiddush and Malkum Sfira, the Shulchan Aruch has a din. If you have two people in different houses, let's say two sides of the street, and one guy's going to scream the Kiddush out loud, so the guy on the other side of the street will also hear. So the din of Amalot Tosha Yitbon, we pass, and you don't need each and every person has to drink the wine. Even if only one person drinks, everybody drinks it. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's called Kiddush and Malkum Sfira. I'm saying Kiddush over here, let's say I want to drink, I want to make Kiddush, I want to eat my meal here. And I scream out the Kiddush so loud so the person a block away can hear, and there's no wine over there, he doesn't see me, he doesn't see the wine. Still, Shulchan Aruch says that that's okay. That's only, Mishnah Berurah says, that's only provided, but I had a mind to be might see him. That's a Reishayin Gimel Sivov. There are two different houses, far apart from each other, two different acquaintances, but still, if I had Kavanah to be might see me, I Kavanah Lotzis, then he would be yours. Here the Mishnah Berurah in the Bira Halacha starts again filming with his Aisa. The Morgan Avraham said in Reishayin Aleph that when you got married here, it's a Kiddush Deraisa. And the Kiddush had to recite our crushes on the Midir Rabbanah, and so we needed Midir Rabbanah. And the Morgan Avraham Aisa said in Samach that Mitzvah Svichas Kavanah is a Machlekes. And in Mitzvah Midir Rabbanah, we pass the Mitzvah Zain Svichas Kavanah. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third Perek that the requirement for Kavanah Lotzi and Kavanah Lotzi is when one person recites the Bracha and Kavanah Lotzi Yetzi, one person blows Shefer. Someone else is Yetzi, and so on. That Kavanah Lahotzi and Kavanah Lotzi, one person is Megillah and the other person is Yetzi. That's based on the assumption that Mitzvah Tzichas Kavanah. If we didn't worry that Mitzvah then Tzichas Kavanah, then in the Gemara says there would be no requirement for Kavanah Lahotzi and there would be no need for Kavanah Lotzi. So the main of the Bira Lacha puts together a whole concoction over here. What? That if I already done my revolution, I get the Kiddush the right, so Kiddush Alatov, I need to do up on it. And then some fellow is reciting Kiddush, and his home is locked away. And I hear him say to Kiddush, he doesn't know who I am, he doesn't know that I exist. And he didn't have a mind to be mercy anybody other than himself. But since Kiddush for me is only the Rabbanah, and then Mitzvah the Rabbanah, Mitzvah Zayn Tzvichas Kavanah, and whatever he says Zayn Tzvichas Kavanah, then you know he called Kavanah, but it's Kavanah Lotzis, I would be Yosei, even though he had no Kavanah to be mercy for me, even though I had no Kavanah Lotzis. But that's when she come out La Lotzis. So the Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks that the Magen Avraham is wrong. That's on page Nun Gimel. The last two lines in the Bira Halacha, Iker Dina Da Magen Avraham, Mucha Chamesh Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch does not hold like the Magen Avraham. The Chayim Magen Gibarim, Sim Min Samach, Mepachim Yudim Da Magen Avraham, Chayim Agro, Mucha Chamesh Yud Da Magen Avraham, he says a few great Akronim disagreeing. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Radvar, Shiva Zer Radvar. He says a lot of Akronim disagreeing, hold it even on Mitzvah Bira Halacha also, Mitzvah Stichas Kavanah. In Yeshiva they usually say a different reason why this is wrong. But the reason that we say it again, we know they say that Kavanah Lahotzi, Kavanah Lahotzi, that's just a din. But if you want to have Shemek Kainah, if my bracha should relate to you, or my tzir should relate to you, or my Havdolah should relate to you, so then you have to have Kavanah Lahotzi and Kavanah Lahotzi. Kavanah Mashmiah, the Kavanah Shemeah. If I'm doing a mitzvah myself, and I don't have a mind to be here, so that's the shayla anymore, whether it's Sichas Kavanah or not. But if I'm doing a mitzvah, and you want my mitzvah to relate to somebody else based on Shemek Kainah, but that is certainly not Kavanah Shamer, the Kavanah Mashmiah. That's how the belt says, yeah, but that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says the Feirish like the Mishnah Berurah quotes. It's not on right in the Gemara that Kavanah Shamer, the Kavanah Mashmiah is only required if you have Mitzvah Sifat Kavanah. If Mitzvah Sifat Kavanah, you wouldn't need that Kavanah either. The one who says that Knech, that the Shini Shini Sari, is the Baal Hamor. In the end of the third paragraph in Rosh Hashanah, he says, "La locha," but even though he says that the Gemara that comes to the last line backs out from everything that he said before, else, and he puts the two together, that if one mitzvah ain't sichas kavanah, then you don't need kavanah lahotzi. You can bring the tzar to your keys to someone else, and then on the last line in the sugya it says that one of the Amoraim, I think Rava, told his Baal Pekeya, "Kechavanat kali," and he blows shofar to have a mind to be made to me. So what does it mean, a Kavanah Kali, have a mind to be made to me because we're all the mitzvah, Sichas Kavanah, therefore he Kavanah Shameh Mashmiah. I, but it seems that Allah should be the Balamot Hanukkah mitzvah, Eitz Sichas Kavanah,
He says, no, the Makanas Advarim of the Sugi is that you need Kavana Shamei Ashmiya to be mitzvah with my mitzvah to someone else. Even if your mitzvah is in Sikhas Kavan, it's a separate halacha that you need Kavana Shamei with Kavana Shamei. That's all Rav Soloveitchik said, perhaps is the Pshat in the Rambam, the Shreime, the famous Kasha in the Rambam that the Rambam passed in, that Kapur Vyoha Matzah Yotso, that if a person was forced into eating Matzah, and he didn't really have a mind to be Yotzin, nevertheless, he's Yotzin, he needs to be first mitzvah, same Sikhas Kavana. And then he writes in the first Kiyah Shofar that you've only heard to Kiyah, so if you have Kavanah Mashmiya, the Kavanah Shameya. So it's an Asnima, so the Mishanim has to speak on the Ramah. How can we pass from this? So they give various answers to our answer this truth. So one of the many answers they'll give him, Rav Soloveitchik said over his list, that the Ramah Pah holds like the Balamor, the Kavanah Shameya, the Kavanah Mashmiya is a separate Allah, in order to be the Pah, my Maisa and Mitzvah. To somebody else, then why do you need the Kavanah? But if I'm doing the mitzvah myself and I didn't have kavanah lot, then there are the first ones that mitzvah same to you as kavanah. That's one of the answers. There are many other answers. The thing is, you have to have kiddush with mokum suda. Is there a thing that you have to have kiddush with mokum hadlokas and neiris? The Mechaber on page 105, 106 has a machlekes. Reisha and Gimel Siv Zayin. What's that a machlekes and hukas? Kiddush and machlekes and hukas hadlokas and neiris. The pastor says that that's a machlokes in Hadlokas HaNeiris. There is, the Magen Avraham has this whole Mordechai, this whole story. There's a machlokes of Rishonim, or a Yotze Hadlokas HaNeiris, if you light, Shelo B'Mokum Suda. Maybe if you light in any other place other than the Mokum Suda, that is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeiris. So it's not a shayla of Kiddush for Mokum Hadlokas HaNeiris. But the Shail of Neir, Shail of Malkum Suda, has nothing to do with Kiddush. There was in Reish Ha'inav, there's a different thing about the connection between Kiddush and the Neiros. Right, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara here in the Mishnah Berurah in Mem Ches, page 94. The last line of Mishnah Berurah comments on the Ramah. The Ramah quotes from the Mahalil that when you say by Hulu, you can enter the Neiros. When you say the Kiddush, you can enter the coast. So why is Vaikulu Yitin any of the Neiros? Why should we look at the Neiros at the time that he recites Vaikulu? So the Mishnah Berurah and then Chess quotes, because the Gemara says the Shabbos that we learn that you're not allowed to walk Psiagaso on Shabbos. We don't have the Gemara, no? You walk Psiagaso on Shabbos, what's the Takana? So the Gemara says, Mahadalei Bikidushi Nidei Shimsha. You can regain your eyesight. You lose 1/500 of your eyesight if you run Psiagaso in the middle of the week. So you regain it. If you can regain it by the Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. What do you mean by the Kiddush on Leil Shabbos? Some Shalom say you drink the Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. Some Shalom say you rub the wine in your eyes. And others say, yeah, the Kiddush. And some Shalom say that I have to do the Kiddush in Shul. You have to drink the Kiddush wine in Shul. That's why you say Kiddush in Shul. In order to regain your eyesight. You drink the wine at home, it won't help. You have to drink the wine in Shul. Even though no one is yet to the Kiddush Shul, but it's good for the food. And others say, no, what do you mean, Mahadullah, the Kiddush of Eidin Shimsha? How does the wine help you regain your eyesight by drinking wine or by rubbing in your eyes? That shouldn't help. But if you're booking the candles that are burning as you're reciting the Kiddush, that's Mahadullah. That will regain your eyesight. Right, to look up at the electric light sometimes. Just because they forgot to stay up well on the electric, doesn't mean that it's not Ner Shabbos. It's a good Ner Shabbos. Fluorescence is not a Ner Shabbos. Make sure that they have income well in both. That's not a problem. Mother Avram says that it's not known yet, since you like, everybody likes in one room in a hotel, you're not yet, so you have to light the base off. So Hadlokas HaNeiros on Leil Chanukah and on Shabbos have the same meaning, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they both have to be the base off, based on Yuchad Lo. Mother Avram talks about a practice that the men had, that the women had, when a woman had to go to mikvah on Friday night, so they would go to shul, and go to the mikvah would be in the basement of the shul, then they would come upstairs and bench lift in the women's section in the shul. So he says, that's nothing, that's neither here nor there, they're not based on it today. How is that based on? I'd love to find out if I see in your home, you can't go light in a hospital. I'm going to go light in yeshiva, light have love in there. So the same thing over here, if you have a hotel, everybody has their private rooms and they have a dining room and you're all together. So you're going to go light in there in a separate room. A room that shared in common by 300 guests. The fellow, no one's yet over there.
The bedroom is not, you don't need the bedroom.
It's preferable, we pass it as preferable to light in the desert than to light in a public place, right? Even though Melanie says that we pass the meter at in, it can even light if you're not eating there. The Maria brings a riot that we pass in like that. The Yotzah, Lokas HaNeiros, even though it's Shalom Mokum HaStude, it brings a riot in the Mishnah Sofim, that Mokum Shanovel Lahalik HaSaner, Beleir HaYom HaKippur Madlikim. The Tumen Hogim in the Mishnah, whether you like candles on Erev Yom Kippur, or you don't like candles on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that both Meraim are rooting in the same reason. That it's also love all Ishtar, Tashmi Shamit, is also on Yom Kippur. So those places that have been adopted, yes, to like candles rules in order to prevent from survival of the Tashmi Shamit. Because it's also the Shamish and also the world in there. So you should really like the candles in the bedroom, not in the dining room. And those are the meaning, the Gadavke not to like candles on Erev Yom Kippur. Is because if he's going to be dark in the house and he won't see how attractive his wife is, then he won't be appealed to, he won't find her appealing, he doesn't see her, so he won't violate the Yisra Tashi Shamit. We see from the Mishnah that there was a meaning that in some places, the Yisra Benet are meaning that they light candles on Erev Yom Kippur. So because it's only a meaning, it's not a din, it's not even a Tachan of the Rabbon, it's only a meaning. So that's why there's a Machlekes in Shulchanot, because the Machal and the Rabbon, but he says Rafa now. Chatzis says like the Rambam, you don't say bracha on Mehogim, Chatzihala on Shredish, you don't say bracha on Halokas Neres, on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Rambam says things that you do say bracha on Chatzihala on Shredish, you know, it's only a minute. You can't say Shibishanam and say some Kibonu, so the same applies over here, Halokas Neres, on Erev Yom Kippur. Some practices like the Rambam, the rule of Ashkenaz, they say bracha on Halokas Neres, on Erev Yom Kippur, even though it's obviously Shalom and Mokum Rachimu. So the fact that you just, from the fact that you light candles on Erev Yom Kippur, that doesn't prove anything. But the Maharal says, from the fact that you say a bracha, and the Neres on Erev Yom Kippur shows that you can say a bracha v'hamech ner shel Shabbos, even though you're not modeling to mokum l'achila. That's three times. A very questionable raya. If the whole halakha on Neres on Erev Yom Kippur is mitam achel legamrei, it has nothing to do with it's in order to prevent Tashma Shemitah, that's because the favor should be immediate. Even if you say bracha, that bracha has absolutely nothing in common with the bracha that you said before, Hadlacha Sanderis, and there Shabbos Erev Yom Kippur. That bracha is the general Birchas HaMitzvah. You say Birchas HaMitzvah before you do any mitzvah, even including mitzvahs to the Rabbanan, and even including according to the Rabban Minhagim. Even say a bracha before you're about to do a Minhag. So who says that the bracha L'Halach Nershal Yom Kippurim is identical with the bracha l'harim on the Shabbos l'harim yeshal yontif, but that should be a proof that even on the Shabbos and the yontif, the regular Shabbos and the yontif, you can also tell bracha you're not bothered from mokum achilu. What kind of a proof is that? But that's what the Maharal brings as his proof, and the Maharal swallows it. He takes it, he says, that's the halacha, that l'achilu should satisfy the shita sagronim and always be mahadeh to be mahadeh from mokum achilu. But if not, if it turns out that you can't be modeled from Mokum Achilo, so you can say a bracha, modeled Nesha Shabbat and Yantam, Shalom and Mokum Achilo.
What if somebody is playing a test and going to go to somebody that eats, taking shul, and if we come up, the caterpillar is the owl?
Yeah, so the Pashto says that doesn't accomplish anything. You should only say the bracha if he's going to be modeled near it, that he will be Nana from later. Many Pashto have been say the bracha on electric lights. So if the electric lights will be on when he comes back in, so the bracha will be related to that.
On Shabbos, we have the
time
for
halakhah sedar. To enjoy
the seder.
Shalom Bayis independent. Shalom Bayis, yeah. Shalom Bayis, and to enjoy the seder. So that's the question. The bracha that we recite on halakhah sedar, is that because of the enjoyment of the seder? So if you're going to be mindful, shalom ma'akum ha'seder, you shouldn't say a bracha. Or if you live over here and you change your mind, you want to eat somewhere else, you shouldn't change your mind. You should not eat the Malkum HaNeiros in order that it should come out that you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Havlaka. Otherwise, you're going to light the candles and eat somewhere else. It'll come out that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Havlaka HaNeiros.
It's just being permitted to light
the candles so much you're going to attend. So we pass the Mikra, like the Mario, that you can be yoked to Havlaka HaNeiros Shabbos with Shalom Bayis reason alone. Without the Suda.
Yes, but why is
it Blocka?
Why is it Havlaka Bayis?
So I'll ask the question whether you say a bracha on Hadlokas Neiros on Erev Shabbos. Another person that ignored the Sefer Brocha. Places has an achlekes about it. Very common achlekes. Places says one opinion that you don't say a brocha. And Allah has done here. Just like you don't say a brocha when you cook the chunk, you don't say a brocha when you take the shower, you don't say a brocha when you vacuum your rug. And you start to say, but all the hachlekes that do the cool Shabbos, you don't say a brocha. My understanding of Allah has done here is why should you say a brocha when the Nabbos and the Eres and the Eres Shabbos? And places says, no, but our practice is the way to say, you say a brocha, and that's what it says. And he was showing me. Because it says, that's what it says in Yerushalmi. If you say a bracha loud in Yerushalmi, it's weird that Yerushalmi nobody knows. There is no such Yerushalmi. Because it's called Tazai Yerushalmi. It's one of the many Yerushalmis that they thought that we don't have. You must have had it for different groups. Some historians claim that the bracha was instituted is not Hagonim. But there is no Yerushalmi. The Hagonim insisted to say a bracha because the Karoim were tumling. But you're not allowed to leave lights on, even with the mayor of Shabbos. In the Shabbos, based on their fallacious interpretation of possible as the virus performed at the certain Yom HaShabbos, as meaning that you're not allowed to leave lights on. So they sat in the dark on Shabbos. So the Goyim used to fight with the Karaim all out in Bavel. So they were the ones. They weren't the ones who introduced the Takar of Hadlokas Nehru. That says in the Mishnah. They're not a big one of Mayim Adlikim. But they were the ones who introduced the Bracha. They were hoping to leave them Shalak HaRoyim to demonstrate that it's really permissible, not only do we hold that it's permissible, we even hold that it's a mitzvah, and we encourage everybody to say a bracha. And that's why some have the practice that they only say the bracha on their Shabbat, not on their Yom Tov. Rabbi Zvi Yosef has a funny truth about that. He quotes in many communities in North Africa, many Spanish Achronim, not a minig, only to say a bracha on their Shabbat, not on their Yom Tov. What's that? This? Only on their Shabbat, not on their Yom Tov. According to this historical suggestion, this suggestion doesn't really have too strong, doesn't have any rights to it. Just the earliest source that you find the bracha on about the name of Shabbos is in the Goyinic. In the Goyinic literature, before you don't know. So that's what they suggest, and maybe you can combat the influence of the negative influence of the Karaim. But that should be the reason that we can understand Achirim from Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Karaim only held that Lo Sivar Ra'esh on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they also held Melchor Mavish, it's not possible in the Chumash. They weren't so cool, they cooked on Yom Tov also. So on Yom Tov, there's no need to introduce a bracha to the Haitz Malim and Shalach Alach. So maybe that's why in some communities they have such a meaning that that they only said a bracha on their Shabbos, not on their Yom Tov. Ramon, page 104, has an interesting chiddush. It's really a machlokes in Rishonim, but it's a very good point. But Ramon says that not only does the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak say that on Friday night I can recite chiddush with somebody else and I can say, Baruch HaGolfin to me, no, I'm not drinking at all. I say, yes, I'm not only in the kiddush, even on the Baruch HaGolfin of the kiddush. But even on Shabbos morning, the whole kiddush only consists of Baruch HaGolfin. That's what we say. I can also recite Baruch HaGolfin kiddush to me. To be mercy somebody else, even though I'm not drinking the wine at all. And that's the whole kiddush, only consists of the Baruch Yagot. Lechatchili shouldn't do it even on Friday night. Lechatchili shouldn't say kiddush for somebody else if he's able to say his own kiddush. We only allow this. The Yotzei Moitzi, if the others are Einim Yodim, the Baruch Yatzma. So the whole idea of Yotzei Moitzi is that Kol Yisrael Arein is that I'm a Chuyiv, I'm still called Baruch Yudah, because I'm a Chuyiv. To recite kiddush for myself, and I'm mechuyev to speak with that everybody who's mechuyev in kiddush should recite kiddush. That's all part of my kiddush. So if there's one Jew in the world who doesn't know how to say kiddush, it's an extension of my kiddush that I should help him out, and I should say kiddush on his behalf. But that's only if he doesn't know how to help himself out. But if he knows how to say kiddush himself, well, I'm mechuyev. Why is it Kol Yisrael Arein? Why is it my obligation to help him? The Lord helps those who help themselves. So let him say his own kiddush. And the Mechaber says that the only time he said Yotzei Moitzi is if I didn't say Kiddush, then I'm saying Kiddush to be made to myself. So the others are Yotzei and they're claiming. But if I already went Yotzei Kiddush, or I'm going to go home and say Kiddush, and then I'm going to say Kiddush just to be made to others, and I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to drink it at all, it's just Kiddush on behalf of others. So that's based on Yotzei Moitzi. And Mechaber writes on page 104, and Sif Dawud, Reisha and Yimsif Dawud, that you only allow Yotzei Moitzi, who shayna me yoyim, only the other people are never hafik or ahmeres, that they don't know how to say their own Kiddush. Mishnah Berurah quotes that many disagree with this. The Pichodosh and the Malbim, the Sefer HaTzachayim, disagree. The Malbim went down in history as the man who wrote Pirushim on Tanakh, but it was really a great time. He was considered Mamish one of the Goyini Hador in his generation. He wrote the Sefer Akas HaChaim, he didn't get this far. He only wrote at the beginning of Or HaChaim, but he was considered a great poster. Mishnah Berurah quotes him all the time. And Lotus Tzitzis quotes Akas HaChaim on every page. But really, he throws you also for that. The Chodesh and the Akas HaChaim both take exception to this Mishnah. Anyway, so the thing is, I'll call upon that I can say finish on the heels of somebody else, even though I'm not even drinking wine. So what about Shabbos morning? Shabbos morning, the whole Kiddush only consists of what you're going to say. The Ramah says in Kuba, and that the Gevegi says there's a person from Sachin that says like the Ramah, but there's a withdrawn Sachin that says like this. There's no such against the Ramah. The withdrawn Sachin is only opinion that the reason why you say you allow Yotzer makes even a Bortu HaGoshen of Kiddush is because the Bortu HaGoshen has the same status as the Birchas HaKiddush. Just like the Kiddush is the Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaKiddush, you allow Yotzer Moitzi, only Birchas HaNenim you don't allow it. But the Bortu HaGoshen of Kiddush takes on the status of the Kiddush. It's like as if it became an intrinsic part of the Kiddush. If it became the chalik of the Kiddush, just like the Kiddush, you allow Yotz Moitzi to the Bratu HaGoshen as well. But on Shabbos morning, you can't say the Bratu HaGoshen takes on as if it becomes a chalik of something else. There is nothing else, but the Shabbos morning is also on Shabbos. It's only a minute. You can't say the Bratu HaGoshen becomes part of anything else. There's nothing else there that can swallow it up. They can take it into itself. So the whole Kiddush only consists of the Birchas HaNehen and the Bratu HaGoshen. So that's why the Rishba says on Shabbos morning, you wouldn't allow one person to be made to the others with Bratu HaGoshen unless he himself is drinking as well. So then it's a mekhoi. And the Ramah passed it like the Tosfos, that you do allow it, because the reason, in other words, that the reason why the Gemara says you allow Yotza Moitzi on Bratu HaGoshen of Kiddush is not because Bratu HaGoshen becomes part of the Kiddush. Either that's not true, does not become part of the Kiddush, or Fulim Vaniach that it does, that's not necessarily the reason why we allow. We allow it because the only reason why you don't allow it is because you don't say, Kosar Rav Mirad is there, and you need food. Zoro Nishtar. Who tells the guy that he has to eat? But we allow Yotze Moitzi and the Birchas HaNehem whenever the person is Mechuyev Kikka. Either Mishnah Berurah quotes the Kashya from the Taz and the Magen Avraham says, so all Rosh Chodesh Shavuot on Shabbos, so you should say Yotze Moitzi and HaMoitzi Lachem Haaretz, at least on the first two Siddurs. You have to have Taz, you say Siddurs is okay out of the Taz. You wanted to say Yotze Moitzi and HaMoitzi Lachem Haaretz on Shabbos and Yotze, the Diddins that you don't Kedishlein, if you all like the request, Niche. You can't say that the HaMoitzi becomes part of anything else. On Pesach night you can say, HaMoitzi becomes part of the Haggadah. You have a long Haggadah and you have a whole bunch of brachas there. The HaMoitzi blends into the Alachi Vesmatri, Alachi Vesmara, Shev Yalonu, Kiddush, Alu, Nusach Haggadah. That's part of the whole Nusach Haggadah. But on regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't say that the HaMoitzi blends into any other thing that's recited. It has nothing to do with anything else that's recited. The Bishleim, according to the Ritzvah, we understand why you don't allow Shemeh, why you don't allow Yotz HaMoitzi, and HaMoitzi Lechem HaOretz of Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov. But according to the Ramah, who passed through my places, that you do say Yotz HaMoitzi even on Shabbos morning with the Kiddush, even though it's only Bratu HaGoshen, why not say the same on HaMoitzi or Achilas Tatz for Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov? But that's the classical Mephoshim on the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah quotes it. When Mephoshim say, because he's not really mechuyev to eat the meal on Shabbos either. If he enjoys fasting more than he enjoys eating, years ago he used to be such people, he used to fast and eat them all the time. So people enjoy fasting more than they enjoy eating, so they're only Shabbos that they shouldn't eat. We are a different kind of people. We enjoy eating more than fasting. Most people that we know enjoy eating more than fasting. So we have a chiyuv that we have to eat Shabbos with this. But if he would have been a different type of a person, we would have not had this chiyuv. Not the same as matzah without Pesach, whether you like it or not, you have to eat it. Now Kiddush, you have to drink the wine, I'm going to sleep, and if you don't drink the wine, you're not going to be wasted. Those are the two reasons that are given. Where is this Tosfos? Or the Gevegi has, where is this Tosfos that says like the Ramah? The Ramah doesn't quote from Tosfos. Quotes from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Where is the Tosfos that says that even on Kiddush on Shabbos morning you allow Yotz HaMoitzi? So what the Gevegi has, the following Tosfos. The Gemara tells a story
that one of the Amoraim came to a community and he didn't know what the Menachim were there. So they wanted to be Mechabin him after Musaf on Shabbos, they wanted to be Mechabin him that he should say Kiddush for the Yoyim. But he didn't know what bracha they say. He knows that he says bracha al-Dofen. That's his minute. He doesn't know what their minute is. So he said he's going to play it by ear. So he says bracha al-Dofen, he's holding the breath and he's waiting. See if anybody's going to tell him that he should say some more. You see the way that an old man starts sipping his own cup of wine, so he realized that's it. That's the whole Kiddush. The same Musaf that we say in America, that's what they say in America. Well, also, they just say bracha al-Dofen. So he started to drink the wine and out of it. He guessed right. That was all Kiddush. The person says, "Bala Gorakasha." This old man was started to sip the wine. He did, but did he do it? Shalei did. Because there is a Gemara that's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. Ain hamasulim ashoyim lufam ashiyufam hamavarech. That if I say bracha al-Dofen on a cup of wine, before I took any sip of the wine, no one else was being yetzer with my bracha. There's a lot of sip from their wine. If they're being yetzer with my bracha, it's not proper that they should drink before I drink.
Yeah, it's on course.
So that place is kasha. How could the old man drink the wine if I didn't take a sip yet? So you say that the old man didn't know the halakha, so maybe the old man was an amorah, so how did the rabbi rely on the old man to know that that's the end of the kiddush? Maybe he was an amorah, maybe he's supposed to say another bracha. So obviously he relied on the old man knows what he's doing. The old man knows what he's doing, so how did he drink before me? So that place is kasha.
So if he
didn't know
the
halakha,
I mean,
if
he
knows
that kiddush shot,
if he knows,
if
he doesn't know.
And he doesn't.
Okay, it's a good time. Enough and enough. But basically assumes that the old man didn't even do that. He was doing right. You could assume the old man did wrong. That's the end of the whole story. This assumes that the old man did right, and then the father with his kasha, if he did everything right, made his aim, so didn't he do this part wrong? That he was praying for the wine before the Mubarak himself was done. So basically gives two answers. So the one answer is, two answers represent a major machlekes or rishon what the nature of this din. The one answer the person gives is that it's a migas darachos. It's not a din, it's not a halacha. It's darachos, but it's not proper. That if I said the place I'm waiting, I'm cutting the challah and I'm passing it around, and I have a whole household full of people, so I'm still busy giving out the bread, and they're already eating the food. I'm the one who said, I'm waiting, they're already eating. I said, go to our government, and I'm going to give them wine and the various cups, and I'm going to pass it out, and then while in the process of passing it out, they're going to start drinking the wine before I drink it. It's not me to start ahead. But if each one has kosher lefono, at the time that I say kosher lefono, so I don't have to pour to each one. So then there isn't even a violation of me to start ahead. If they're going to drink their wine before me, or if I say hamoitzi, everybody has own challah muna lefono, there's nothing wrong if he starts eating his own challah before I eat mine. I have a big challah, it's going to take me a long time to cut it. And he has a little challah, so he'll eat his challah even before me. But if I'm cutting up a big challah and distributing to everybody, then it's improper for them to eat before I eat. That's the one answer that Chazal gives. That's the answer that's called in the Shulchan Aruch. If it's kol achad kol shelofono, then the mechaber calls it a gnu. But then Chazal gives another answer that it's not a minyan of midas darachos. It's a halachic consideration of eating. If I say hamotzi lechem min haaretz, on a Wednesday afternoon reading lunch, nothing to do with Shabbos noon, I say hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and I don't eat any bread, I have bracha l'matzah. If I eat the bread, then it's not a bracha l'matzah. So if I say hamotzi and everybody wants to be yotzi with my bracha, it's not. But if they're going to eat before I do, so what are you going to do if I'm going to decide not to eat? I told you. I said a bracha l'matzah, and you were eating without having a bracha. So the Gemara says, "Ain't I the same Hashem Ritzon Kloma Shehit Amar Avarach? You better not eat before I start eating, because before I eat my bracha was mechal, and I may yet get a heart attack. I may not eat anything. It'll come out that my bracha was mechal at all. I can't say a bracha for you. That's the problem. Birchas Hanenin. There's no explanation. The Tosfos says that that's the pshat. That it's a halachic consideration because it can't be made to the others in Birchas Hanenin. That it doesn't apply to Kiddush because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah." That Torah for Abba Fanat Kiddush is saying Yotze Moitzi. So Rabbi Kevegi says that the Gemara there is talking about Kiddush on Shabbos morning, not talking about Friday night. So that's the right, that case is held like the Ramah. That not only on Kiddush on Friday night do you say Yotze Moitzi and the Barfi Abba Fan, even on Shabbos morning you also say Yotze Moitzi and the Barfi Abba Fan. That's Rabbi Kevegi's case is that holds like the Ramah against the Ritzvah. The Ramah just quotes the Rabbi Yeruchim, he doesn't quote a Tosfos. He didn't say, that Tosfos, that's the Pshat in Tosfos. The reason why it doesn't apply, Kiddush on Shabbos morning, because he says, even if I will get a heart attack, even if I will drink the wine, it'll still come out that you were yoked to the Tzai Gorki Avos. You don't require that I should be yoked to the Dabra. Based on this machlokes that there's a tumul regarding a wedding, if you have a lot of rabbanim, you want to be mechaber a lot of people, so sometimes the mechaber one rabbi just to say Gorki Avos alone. The mechaber the next rabbi to say the next drop. So some say, can't do that. The only time you can say a Gorki Avos is we might be others, even though you yourself are not doing something, is that the Gorki Avos is going to do it with another drop. But the Avos are not Kiddush. But then, just like you say, Agav, that the Kiddush is out too much, you say Gorki Avos and also will go to the other one. But just to say Gorki Avos alone, you can't say Gorki Avos alone for somebody else. So first of all, you see that I'm not holding up to it. So you say, if you didn't have Kiddush on Shabbos morning, that's all you say is Gorki Avos. You do say Yad Kamoisri. Even according to the Rizvah, who doesn't agree with this Ramel, doesn't agree with this Pesach, you can still distinguish very simply that that's because Kiddush on Shabbos morning only consists of the Gorki Avos well called Kiddush on Shabbos. But by Bechot Yisurin, where they have the Gorki Avos in Klaus, Shahakol Bola Gola Tzot Yot Yot and Tzot Yot Yot Tzot 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 Yot I was making a fight about by wedding, about insisting that you only want to say the for the Avrochin is to give you another bracha. The bit of Kiddush walking through there, what's the bit of a person who makes Kiddush and can't eat and drink, and then the airs blew out, then the lights went out by mistake, and they have to go eat somewhere else. At the time that he said the Kiddush and plan to eat and drink, then the notice came up and he wasn't able to, so the most of the fairish and average saw him that he not yet said. Even though you intended to try to eat the meal here, but then with the stuff you had to go somewhere else, you have to repeat the whole Kiddush all over again. Lo and behold, that you have to repeat the Baruch Hu Avos because she didn't walk, and you have to repeat the Kiddush also because you didn't have this food over here. What happens if it was the reverse? I said Kiddush over here. Look, I said Kiddush in Shul, and I thought I'm here to get Kiddush, but I absolutely did not plan to eat here. And then the rabbi tells me, young man, you're not here to do this Kiddush there. I said Kiddush again. So I said, I'd rather be here in the Shul. He said, okay. So after I made the Kiddush planning not to eat the meal, I changed my mind and I sit down and I do eat the meal. Need to say that I wasn't going to eat the Kiddush, but I didn't throw up the time and decided to finish eating the meal here. So I'm not. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that I'm not right on page Nuntei. And Rabbi Shain Gimel, Shulchan Gimel, Noi Bidai Tishalala Hashem Yad. And then what we offer, Yod Sot, it's here to say Hashem. It says, you see to that Gemara by the light going out that it doesn't matter what intentions we had at the time of Kiddush. All depends on the Torah Mamish. Did he eat right after he said the Kiddush? Did he not eat? He may have a mind not to eat it, but because he does eat, it turns out that he gets to the Kiddush. Yeah, not an ironclad proof at all. Yeah, but that's probably possible. It's not such a good proof at all. 100%. What's the Kiddush Machum? The student from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah Gimel, the father of the Mishnah, both the clothing. The king of the Philip also had it as a Machlokes. Are we passing that it's even good even if you didn't have a mind? A gigantic dining room. I said Kiddush in one corner, planning to eat the meal in that corner. Then it turns out, because of some circumstance, I have to move all the way to the other end of the room. It's a 5-minute walk away from where I was originally. Even if it's a trapping the boiler, gigantic big room. As long as it's one big room, even the pin and the pin of the trapping door, lays off locks all the time. In one opinion of Mr. Greer quotes, is one opinion of Shenberg. It's not so. That even if people think about the fact that you shouldn't really eat in the other corner. So the Chachimah, the Hebrew would be, the Chumah would be, that if you said Kiddush here, let's say you're in a hotel, if you said Kiddush over here, then the guy waiting tells you, sorry, you have to sit all the way to the other end of the hotel. You should have to wait, let me just eat my Hamaisi over here. So you should have your Hamaisi there, have a Kedaiz of Pasi, you have to Kiddush Mokhi student. And then you can eat the rest of the meal over there, once you have Kedaiz, there's no problem with Shiva Mokhom. What time machine you walking to the bread? No, that's Kedah. For those purposes, you can venture. You can even move it over there too. And you need to go over there also. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Chazal should be mocking even the people about Sofeder to have the bread over here. But Mikra didn't be passing the Shulchan Aruch, and the people about Sofeder is not called Shinim Rav. The Ched and the Ched about Sabayis
is a shiur malachim unless you had intention. If you intended to eat in the other room, the bayi is going to get it. You didn't intend enough. And if it's the bayi fachir, then we pass him that even intending doesn't help. There's one opinion that it does help, and we don't pass him again. The bayi go to bayi fachir wouldn't help. What if you have, let's say, an apartment building, and you have different apartments, and the slabber of the different apartments are considered the bayi for bayi? So it's not considered the head and the head of both the bayi. Even though it's all one building, but if a different family lives in this apartment, different family lives in that part. So I thought that should be the same as the bias, the bias. What if you have the stuk of the bias and the bias the stuk it? Okay, he makes kiddush in the stuk and then it starts to put up. It goes in the house and he's going to eat. So does he have to say the kiddush over again? Or he makes kiddush, or it's pouring now and he makes kiddush in the house. And then it stops raining and he wants to go eat the kid in the stuk. So do you say that that's a shiur makom or not? Do you say that that's called kiddush makom? So the Ramah says in the name of the Lord, so that's okay. Bais with soup and the soup of the bais, that's the same as Matina Lapina. Why in the world is that the same as Matina Lapina? So here is a major machlokes in our friend, what the Ramah is talking about. The Mishnah Berurah is cutting hay, quotes the classical interpretation, not like the Lagush. That what the Ramah means is like this: you have a room, one room, and they, like the fancy people have, and they took out the roof in the middle and put on scotch. Oh, the roof fell down. They didn't have fancy. The roof caved in, and they put up scotch. And it pressed out on the wall, so it's a guy from Akuma. So you have to have your silk in the middle of the room. So when it rains, they don't put in the middle of the room, they put on the shark. So it's like Mamish, the same roof. Mutina Latina, both are feather. He made Kiddush over here, and then it starts going, so just move over, and then he sits over there, under the ceiling part. Or even if that's not the case, that says more than that around it away from the wall, so you can't do the guy from Akuma. You have to have the final, so you put up 10 minutes.